Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Last week, I began to speak about what I call God's order or procedure for promotion, and I emphasized when we read from Isaiah chapter 55. That God said from verse 8, he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That was what God said. So we said that men's ways don't usually correspond with God's ways. That is, when everybody is doing something in a particular way, it's a very serious reason to suspect that they are doing it the wrong way. If people say the key to success is network with the right people, know people, make sure that you count on the connections that you have. God said that is man's way. If men say run up and down, wake up early, have a strong desire, do this, do that, God said that is man's way. That my own way is much higher than that. We emphasized that last week. And then we began to see that God said, reading from that beginning of Isaiah chapter 55, that most of these things that men do is actually spending their energy or their money for that which is not bread, and their wages for that which does not satisfy. He said, if a man wants that which is bread and that which satisfies, that the payment he needs to make is to listen carefully to God, and that will cause him to eat what is good. God said, "Incline your ear to me." He said, "Listen, that you may live." God now said, if you do that, what you will experience is what he calls the faithful mercies shown to David, which we explained that meant that you will live in houses that you did not build, that people that you did not know who are stronger than you will come to your aid, that men will by themselves set you in the place that God wanted you to be, that just like Joseph never conquered a nation by war. Joseph never schemed to become a ruler in any nation. But Pharaoh, who had been strengthened by God, called Joseph and made him the ruler in Egypt. That is what is called the faithful mercies shown to David. And God said, how do you get that? You get it by inclining your ear and coming to him. And you get it by listening carefully to God's order. Remember, we also emphasized something which I would like to continue from today. And that's from the book of John chapter 1 verse 1. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, there's a spiritual principle I began to explain to us from there, that before anything becomes physically manifested, which is what we mean when we say the Word became flesh, it first exists in the heart of somebody. Like we saw from John chapter 1, in the heart of God was the Word. With God, that's what it means. In the beginning, there was something with God. And in the same manner, there will be something at the beginning of every endeavor in your life that is with you. That is, the thing is in your heart. People on this earth, they have not yet seen it. It is in the realm of the spirit. The Bible says that you are seated in heavenly places with God, which means that thing in your heart is with God. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That is, it is not yet existent on this earth. But in the process of time, that Word will become manifested on this earth, because the Bible said the Word became flesh and began to dwell amongst us. We said that the things that you see on earth were first existing in the hearts of people. Now, there's some point I made which I should quickly mention again, because it would be very good for connecting it. I said that if you see a mango seed being planted, it does not in any way look like the tree that produced it, or the tree it will grow into. Neither does it in any way resemble the fruits, the multitude of fruits that you will find upon that tree when it has matured. But that seed is also in those fruits, but it is not apparent to the eyes. That is, what you are looking for in life, what it will start as at the beginning, is not really what you are thinking, but as a thought, a word that is in your heart. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. And I said, that is God's order. That's why God said, this is where I do things. He said, my word, it goes forth from me, and it does not return empty. It accomplishes that which I desire. He said, it is like the rain and the snow. What God was saying is that when I have thoughts in my heart and I speak the words according to those thoughts, they begin to produce on the earth. There is something I want to emphasize, that the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are mighty through God. One of the things that marks Christianity out is that though we teach spiritual principles, we are careful to note that they are actually divine principles. Do you understand my point? That is, we don't just go into meditations and go into the realm of the spirit and try to do things. The principles we teach, though they are spiritual, we are aware that they are divine. That is, they are mighty through God. What am I saying? If you have thoughts that are not in agreement with God, they will try to produce, but they will fail. Are you following me? So I'm talking about thoughts that we endure. The Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, that's in 1 John chapter 5. If a thought is in agreement with what God wants, it will overcome. Penina can be an example of the world, looking at the life of Hannah, that she had the thoughts of God, that is Hannah, and said to God, I recognize that what you need is a servant to serve you. Therefore, if you give me a child, I will give that child back to you. And God said, this is my thought. It is higher than the thoughts that Hannah used to have. But now, that thought is in agreement with God. So whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Despite all the enmity around her, Hannah gave birth to Samuel. Are you getting my point? And when she gave Samuel back to God, again in agreement with God's thoughts, she reaped a multitude of children after Samuel. Now, I'm explaining something here, that your thoughts are what is important. That spiritual things control the physical. The attitude you have in your heart, if it is in agreement with God, it produces on the earth. There are things I said in the previous weeks. For example, I said that you will see a man who has a thought in his heart. That is, Nigeria is a bad country. There is no future for me in this nation. That produces in his flesh. If you give him an opportunity in Nigeria, he does not take it. Yet the same man will cross the borders of Nigeria, get to America or get to Europe, and become a sweeper in that same place. That is, his thought has become flesh. Now, he did not plan to be a sweeper or a beggar or a man who has no dignity. He just had the wrong thoughts. So what happened was that thought begat in him. It became flesh in him and produced inferiority. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? That is, the man did not start thinking that I want to be an inferior and second-class citizen. No, I want to be a man who sweeps gutters to make ends meet. No, he just begins to think that God is a nation. That a nation is God. God is not really God. God cannot bless me anywhere. So when he has such thoughts, what he begets in his flesh is failure. Are you getting my point? I remember a man once I met. This man was in Lagos, abandoned his family in his hometown for years, believing that if he does not get a visa, I won't get anywhere. This guy was jobless for years. Yet his mates were making progress. His mates were investing in business and they were making success. His mates were making progress in their lives. Why? Because they did not have his kind of thought. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So your thoughts and attitudes are actually the thing that directs what comes upon you. You see, a few weeks ago, I spoke about the aura that comes from a man's heart. That is, when you approach situations, there is a spiritual force that is generated around you that determines how people respond to you. That is, you go for an interview. Inside your soul, if you're a greedy man who is looking out only for his own good, not for anybody else's good. The boss of the company does not know why, but he doesn't like you. And he does not know why he doesn't like you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's why you see there are people you have met in the past, and something in you just didn't agree with this fellow. Now, what happens under those circumstances is that the thoughts, the attitudes has generated inside your heart a spiritual force, which is called an aura. Now listen to me, these things are magnetic. They either pull good towards you or they repel good from you and pull evil in instead. Are you getting my point? It is right, it is necessary therefore in life that you acquire the right thoughts. What are the right thoughts? They are simply the thoughts of God. The idea in life is to move higher, you know, move up to the higher realms. What are the higher realms? They are the realms of God. Now, I'm not talking about mysticism here. I'm talking about taking the word of God, the Holy Bible, that Jesus by his blood has opened so that we can understand, and using it to form the right thoughts.
Are you getting what I'm going to say? I said the things that you are looking for in life, they are the things that are attracted towards you as a result of having godly thoughts. Do you understand my point? Now, let's talk about thoughts for a second. A lot of people, their aim when they are doing business is, let me get as much as I can for myself. It's a thought pattern. It's in them. The Bible said that word one day will become flesh. But remember our parable of the mango. What it will produce may not be what they were expecting. What does it produce for them? A collapse of a monumental business. Suddenly, people, nobody understands why. They have labored to build it, but one way or the other, the thing doesn't make it. It collapses. But men who have made it in life, they have come out with a thought pattern. Henry Ford said, how can I ensure that an average man can own a car? And God said, you will have the biggest car company. That is a product of your thoughts. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is, Mary Kay Ash said, how can I empower women that have to take care of their homes and still love God? How can I empower them to be successful in business? And God gave her Mary Kay Cosmetics, and she founded a multi-billion dollar company. The right thoughts. I said something last week, which I should mention again. I said, God has a demand for every generation. If you note, the scripture was talking about Noah. It said Noah was righteous in his generations. He said that David served the purpose of God in his generation before he died. That is, God is concerned about what is required for each generation. We're in a nation like this. Nigeria at this time requires solid men, especially young men and women, to lay a serious foundation for the future of the nation. God does not require men who are self-seeking at this time. You know, sometimes I read the story of great missionaries like Hudson Taylor, David Livingstone, men who broke the frontiers, you know, into heathen land. And I will sit down and wonder that, can I do that? Can I depart from having a car to drive, living in an air-conditioned house, and go into the jungle somewhere to go and preach the gospel? Now, whether I can or not, I realize it's not the issue. Why? Because that is not the demand for my generation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? God has not called me right now to go into heathen lands, to go and preach the gospel to people who have never heard it before. Among the demands he has for me is to make sure that my voice is heard in a nation that is essentially well-educated, like Nigeria. It will cost me things. Are you getting my point? There are times people say, recently, we analyzed the number of my close friends and associates who have traveled abroad. And then my wife and I looked and said, in each generation, there is a demand. For me, the demand for my generation is, stay in this place and I will bless you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There was a time that our parents, their generations, traveled abroad to go and acquire education, and it was good. And as soon as they acquired it, they returned back home. Each generation has a call that God has placed upon them. Listen to me very carefully at this time. I believe very strongly that God's call upon this generation is to lay a godly foundation for tomorrow. Let us start learning how to practice what Waziri said then is politics without bitterness. God said, if you want success in the coming year, I want a thought pattern in your life that is, I will practice politics without bitterness. What is the godly foundation that is necessary? God said, go into business and don't sell anything inferior, don't sell anything substandard, do not sell anything adulterated. A new thought pattern. If you have that thought pattern, God said, I will bless you. He said, in your generation, enter your market. Everything you buy, 95% they are fake or substandard. He said, I need a new standard for the market. I need a young woman who will say things the way they are and will not in any way defraud his neighbor. There are places where this will not be a serious demand. If you want to sell in America for your own good, you had better sell what you claim that you are selling. Otherwise, you will not only go to jail, you will pay liabilities imposed upon you by the courts. For them, righteousness at this point in time is not to sell the correct goods. They are already doing it. But we need that in Nigeria. There is a demand on this country at this time for a new godly standard. The people who will do that are the people who are acquiring God's thoughts. And the children that they desire, the prosperity that they desire, the abundance that they desire, they will definitely see it. They will see it. It will be as a matter of the word becoming flesh. That thought pattern will produce results for them. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Listen, in each generation, there are problems. And what God looks for is a young man, a young woman who will break that standard. Are you getting what I'm saying? Break that barrier and set a new standard for righteousness. Thought patterns. He has a new mentality. There is something I see very commonly around. Men don't like to marry until they have made it. God said, listen, my children, I need a new standard for that. Girls don't want to marry a man who doesn't have a car. God used me as a standard. He ensured that I never had a car until I got married. I married a young woman who cars, all kinds of cars, slept in their compound. But he ensured she married me when I didn't have one. I go around today, a young man should marry. He said, what have I yet acquired? What have I yet done? God said, your wife is not the last addition to your accomplishment. She's supposed to be a help to help you accomplish. I need a new standard, a new thought pattern for this generation. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? What God blesses are the new thought patterns that break the common standards in your generation. If you walk with the crowd, Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many people are traveling on it. If you see what is a commonly held principle, if you see what is a commonly held belief, the chances are very high it is wrong. Why? Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, that leads to prosperity, that leads to success, that leads to an established family life, that leads to an all-round soundness. He said, there are very few that walk on it. I remember when I first married then, or shortly before I married, and I used to discuss with my wife. And she said, everybody does these things differently. How come you think you are the one that is right? I said, my own is not founded upon experiences. It is not founded upon the general beliefs. It is not founded upon the broad way. It is founded upon the revealed word of God. You know the interesting thing? As time went on, she began to see the things I was talking about. I didn't even see them beforehand. I just saw it in God's word that this is the right and proper thing to do. That is what I call righteousness in your generation. Let me give another practical example which some people wouldn't like me to talk about. Every day you walk on the road, 99% of the girls that you see dressed like harlots. God said, you want to be a righteous girl in your generation. Nothing wrong with wearing trousers. Nothing wrong with wearing makeup. Nothing wrong with wearing jewelry. But listen, you must not appear like a harlot. It's a righteous standard that you are setting for your generation. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. These thoughts and attitudes, they are the things that determine what come upon you in life. It is not your desires. I said that if wishes were bosses, the Englishman said, even beggars will ride. That is, you cannot convert a wish to reality. It doesn't work like that. It's to sow the right seeds. It's to acquire the right thoughts. God said, this is my pattern. Think the right things and you will have the right things come upon you. Now, remember what I said, and I think I need to say it again. I am not saying if you want to be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. Jesus said, if you want to be a millionaire, think like a servant. That was the word of God. It is a human principle that to be a millionaire, you have to think like a millionaire. But Jesus said, whosoever will be the greatest amongst you must have a servant's mentality. He must be the most serving one. Men that really made it, that was their life. They will invest all their profits to expand the business so that more people will have jobs. They are not thinking about money. They are thinking about job creation. That's what it means to be a servant. Are you getting my point? There is a craze in our society. A man gets a little bit of money, he buys the biggest car, so as to impress you as if he has made it. God said, these rulers of the Gentiles, that's how they behave. They like to lord it over everybody else. He said, but you, if you want to be successful, make sure you always take the lowly standards in your life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That you always come as a lowly person. Is a new mentality that must surpass your generation. Listen, Jesus told the disciples at a point in time, he said, except your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you can never enter the kingdom of God. What am I saying? If you're a child of God, you cannot do things the way everybody does it in the world and you want your life to be outstanding. It will never happen. You have to set new standards. You want to make New Year projections and resolutions. It must be that my ways must be the ways of God. My thoughts must be God's thoughts. Those thoughts are words, logos in the heart of a man. God said it will become flesh one day, but not exactly the way you think. That is, the servant will become the billionaire. And the man who desired to have plenty so that he can show that he has arrived, God said he will be 50 and he will be begging for bread. It's now I understand what David meant when he said, I have been young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children beg bread. Listen, if you break the standards of this generation and set new standards for God, you will never be poor. Your children will never be average. You will not have a child that will ever fail an examination. Listen to me, there will be children that win scholarships every day. The blessings of God don't abound upon you alone, they come upon your descendants. Listen, Solomon was an extension of God's blessing on David. People tell me every day, I want to go and have my children abroad so that I will give them a chance. I said, the chance my children need is the righteousness with which I follow God. If God is pleased with me, my children don't have a problem. Remember that time my wife was pregnant? My mother-in-law said, remember whether she would be interested in going abroad because her sister lives in the UK to go and deliver. She looked at the two of us, looked at my wife and I said, I know the two of you before. You people don't think like everybody else. I said, I'm happy you recognize that. I said, I have a standard to set for my generation. I don't need a British or American passport for my children. If I have the opportunity, my wife will go back. Even if she went to visit, she must come back home to deliver. It is important I let this generation know that there is no advantage of giving your child a foreign passport. I am a blessed man. The passport my child needs to prosper is my name. Once he carries his father's name, God will send angels to harass him everywhere with blessing. He will be an intelligent child. He will be protected everywhere he goes. I hope you are getting my point. Your blessings don't only, if God blesses you, it does not only abide upon you, it moves upon your children and your children's children. I have told you before, no nation is God. America is not God. Britain is not God. South Africa is most certainly not God. And Nigeria, of course, is not God. God is God. If he blesses your children, they are blessed wherever they live. It's a matter of new standards for the generation. I told you, what God is looking for are men who will set new standards for their generation by their thought patterns. Where young women will not judge men according to what they have acquired, but according to the love that they have for God and dedication they have for serving their generation. He said, look, this man is going far. It's a new thought pattern. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Thoughts and attitudes. What's your attitude towards your work? What's your attitude towards the nation? Oh, good enough. I'm happy I brought that one up. There is a common attitude again in this generation. The government does never mean well. The government is bad. Everything is useless. Everybody says that every day. God said, this is your new attitude. Love believes all things. Believe that good is going to come from this government. Believe that good is going to come from any ruler that God has given you. And most importantly, God's order is that you must daily pray for that government. Let me tell you something. The day a man takes the mantle of leadership, he has lost his own willpower. We are the ones that don't understand it. Let me say that again. No ruler is allowed to do what he likes by God. None. But each one has been ordained for a particular purpose in each generation. If the people are deserving of a good leader, God gives it to them and he has no choice but to do good. If the people are bad people, listen, they will get a bad leader. What am I trying to say? What you need to understand is that God said, what I want from all of you is to pray for the leadership of your nation. You know what the problem I have with people? Everybody likes to say what is popular. If you go to a place and defend a government policy, they say you have been settled. If they find a Christian, maybe either in the state or federal cabinet, they say, what is he doing there? They forget that Nigeria has no ruler like Nebuchadnezzar yet. Yet Daniel was his minister. He's a prophet today. We read him. But what marked Daniel out? The Bible says in all affairs of the king, there was no negligence or corruption found in Daniel. That's what marked Daniel out. Listen to me. If you are there and you are doing the right thing, men will also gang up against you. But let me tell you, your head, the leader has been anointed by God to do you the right thing. God can allow you to go through tests, but every man who gangs up against you will fall for your sake. That is the word of God. Believe me when I'm telling you that. A new standard for the generation. God said, who is a man who will want to go into politics? And the only thing he wants is to be a blessing to the nation. He said, if I find one like that, I will anoint him. Remember I talked about faithful mercies of David. That is, people say, before you can enter politics, you need money. God said, yes, I know, but I don't need the money in your hands. I will bring men that have the money to enthrone you if I feel happy and I'm ready to make you the ruler. Yes. Remember, I explained, I think it was last week. I said that David was not a strong man. Don't be fooled by the fact that he killed Goliath. He was not a strong man. He was a man of faith. Read the story. Listen, there's also a man called Looking Under the Sun. If you looked at David's killing of Goliath under the sun, it was a fluke. It was an accident. Are you getting my point? Like they say, it was a freak incident. It just happened. A stone landed the head of a giant and he collapsed and died. And fainted at least. But we know it was God that killed Goliath for David. What am I trying to explain? David was not a strong man. But when he came to war, he commanded the strongest men in Israel. Oh, you should read those portions of the scriptures I refer to. 1 Chronicles chapters 11, 12, and 13. They will be describing the men that came to subject themselves to David. They will say men that could sling a stone with the left and the right at the strand of hair and not miss. Are you getting my point? Men who fought lions, not by grace, not by the spirit, but by sheer strength. They fought lions. They came to bow to David. What am I saying? If you have the right thoughts for your generation, God will cause the greatest amount of money that has been hidden somewhere to be put at your service. The problem God has till now is that most people that he wants to do that for, they will collect the money and go and buy a beak and start traveling in convoy. And they have not even made them governor or head of state or anything. The moment they see the money, me too, I need a house. God said, I have not brought these men to come and build you a house. I have brought them to help me help you promote righteousness here. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? What's our lesson for today? There is a demand for each generation. The crooked and perverse generation, Jesus was speaking, they have a thought pattern. They have a way they reason. They have the way they do things. They have things that plague them. They have things that they worry about. He said, but there is what is called righteousness in each generation. That the man of God, the servant of God, has been sent by God to go and break those barriers, break the former standards, and set new ones for the peoples. God said, if I find such a man as that, who is moving towards my thoughts, which are higher than the thoughts of men, I will make an everlasting covenant with him and show him the same faithful mercies, the type that I showed to David, that he indeed will live in houses he did not build. He will have victory where everybody has thought people should fail. I will cause him to succeed in the midst of abject poverty. He said, though his beginning be small, yet his latter end shall greatly increase. That righteousness will be promoted by his hands, that this generation indeed will be blessed. And listen, his children and his children's children will experience the blessedness that I will pour upon him. That is a fact. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, you are making New Year resolutions. It is enough. Stop troubling yourself about planning that by June, I must have a car. By February, I must be married. By December, I must have built a house. No. What should be your New Year resolution? This year, I will think nothing but that which is pleasing to God. I think let's just end by reading from Psalm 19, beginning from verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Everybody should take this and repeat it to himself every day. And end with one word in verse 14. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to www.kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.